Here it comes. News and Views with economist, author, and former White House aide Chuck Bates. It's the latest in world happenings, questions, and answers. This is what talk radio was meant to be. Chuck is your host, moderator, and sometimes referee for 2 hours of hard-nosed news and no-holds-barred views, much of which is provided by you and Chuck's special guests. What's today's show all about? Let's open the gate and get right to it. Here's your host, Chuck Bates.
In for Chuck this Friday afternoon, I'm Ron Allen. Our guest is Alex Soto, founder of Anno Domini, a Christian educational and apologetics ministry, author of The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on the Mosaic Law. Mr. Soto, welcome to News and Views. Nice to have you with us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
The title of your new book is really a mouthful. Break it down a little bit for us, if you would, please.
The purpose of the book is just to give Christians specific guidance from God in the Bible about morality and politics. It doesn't restrict itself to the general teachings of, you know, be good, or to magistrates tells them to be just and so forth. It also tells them exactly how to do those things.
All right, now, how important do you feel that Calvin's commentaries specifically are for serious students of the Scriptures today, and or for people that are really searching in life? How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important are Calvin's commentaries?
I would say probably 8 or 9. I mean, Calvin was a brilliant, brilliant theologian, and he's a brilliant ethicist. I think his ethical teachings are underappreciated, and one of the reasons why I brought this book is I thought it would be a great value to Christians.
And the name of the book, friends, is The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on Mosaic Law, and it would make a great stocking stuffer or a gift for Christmas for someone. And we look forward to Mr. Soto explaining to us all about the book. What was it that led you to write this book? This is not light reading. This is important stuff. What drove you into this corner?
Yeah, I've always been interested in ethics, wanting to know exactly, you know, what God wants me to do and so forth. And I originally wrote this as just notes for myself. Had no intentions of getting it published at all. But several weeks after I finished it, I was reading it, and it was, you know, greatly beneficial to me. And I said, well, this might be beneficial to other Christians, too. I'll think about trying to get it published.
If you look at America today, you see, and I think just within the last month or two, we had some new statistics out on some kind of a poll that showed that fewer Americans than in the past 10 years, fewer Americans are considering themselves religious. I don't consider myself a religious person. I am a Christian and have been for some years. I've had a personal experience with Christ. I consider myself spiritual, but not religious. Is that a trend in the country?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I'm not the one doing the polling, but apparently the polls are saying that. And just from our own experience, you know, you go out and walk out in the world, you can notice that. Yeah, there is a more trend towards spirituality than there is religious. And as I understand, religion is, you know, church going, so forth.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, religious people, Muslims are religious, and the Hindus are religious, Christians are religious. I think that's probably why I separate myself, because I consider myself a Christian, but I don't like being called religious, because that's too generic a term for me. How much influence did Calvin have on the founding fathers of this nation?
Oh, it was immense. Immense. I mean, there's probably like six or so historians that have called Calvin the virtual founder of America, because his theology came over here, and it was his theology, his political understanding and so forth that helped form this nation.
Now, the U.S. was founded on Christian values, of course. It is not a Christian nation specifically. I know people get irritated at that, but it is a nation built on Christian principles. It's kind of like saying I have a Christian car. That doesn't exist. I have a car with a Christian in it. But if the nation being founded on Christian principles and Christian values, why have so many people, and let's go back to one of the founding fathers, why have so many people unknowingly perpetuated the misunderstanding of Thomas Jefferson's comments about separation of church and state? That had nothing to do with the Constitution. It was a letter he wrote to some Baptist in Danbury, Connecticut. Why don't they get it right? Why don't Christians get it right? Are they part-timers?
Well, I mean, some Christians are just ignorant of these things, and I think you're right that what's often meant by the term, the phrase separation of church and state really means, it probably be better to say separation of God and state, or the Bible and state. That's really what they mean. They want God and the Bible out of the political arena and so forth. But the words, actually, the separation of church and state, the institution of the church and the institution of the state, they do have separate domains. And that is the teaching of the Bible. They have separate domains, but both of them are to be informed of their duties from the Bible.
And that was what Jefferson and Adams and Washington, the three that I am most familiar with as far as their Christian background, they seem to have drawn heavily on Scripture. Many of our contemporary, in my life, contemporary presidents have done so also.
Yeah, Mr. Allen?
Yes.
I could just interject one thing.
Sure.
Said initially our country was not founded as a Christian nation, and I know that it's kind of ambiguous term, you know, what is a Christian nation and so forth, but there are some interesting things about the founding of our nation, which, you know, some people may be surprised at. When we signed the Treaty of Paris that ended our war with Great Britain, we prefaced that treaty in the name of the undivided Blessed Trinity, I think that's how it goes. We cited the Trinity, which is interesting because three of the ministers, American ministers who negotiated that treaty, were not Trinitarian, but they were negotiating the treaty on behalf of a Trinitarian people. Samuel Adams, at the day before he signed the Declaration, he said that in so doing that they were restoring this nation, they were furthering Christ's kingdom. How he put it, I don't remember exactly how he put the quote. But these guys did think that the American Revolution, standing up to the tyrant, they were doing, you know, like what a Christian nation ought to do.
Is there any way that we as Christians can kind of push the pendulum back in favor of religion in the United States, as we've already established? It seems to be going in a negative direction. Is the church strong enough? Is there enough going down in the church, so to speak, that we can bring it back within, let's say, I don't know how old you are, I know how old I am, but within our lifetime, is it possible?
Well, no, the church is not strong enough, but the church has the means to do these things. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the, you know, the power of God to do these things. And God does tell us ways how to heal our land. You know that famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, if they turn from their wicked ways and they seek God's face, he will heal our land. That's a promise by God. But it's not just individuals as well. The nation itself, as a corporate body, must repent and declare Jesus as king. One psalm that I love to quote is Psalm 2. It tells nations that it says, therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. It requires nations to acknowledge publicly and officially that Jesus Christ is the King of their nation. And I think the United States is a great blight on us and a blight on our Constitution, which is an otherwise fine document, that it does not recognize Jesus the King of the United States. And this psalm tells us that when you don't do those things, you're going to make him angry and you're going to perish in the way. And so we have, you know, economic fiscal cliffs coming, and we have terrorists attacking us, and we have, you know, unwanted children being born into the world and so forth. All these things are the wrath of the king. He's angry at us for our rejection of him.
Can we look at social challenges today that face this nation, and do they relate directly to the decline of Christianity in the country, or is it within the power and the domain of the body of Christ to change that? I know it sounds like the question I just asked you, but there is a little bit of a twist to it. The social challenges are many and growing. What can we do about it?
Yeah, again, one of the purposes of my book is to go back to the Bible. Let's always get our answers from the Bible. I mean, this is written by an omniscient being. We should, obviously, wisdom will require us to read it. And let me just read it again, a couple other verses. This is from 2 Chronicles 15. It says, when Israel was without the true God and without the law, in those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. He was judging them. Zechariah 8:10. No one could go about his business safely because of his enemy, for God had turned every man against his neighbor. And then he tells us another reason in Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation of God, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. You have people who do not get their society that's not guided by God's revelation, the Bible. The people, they cast off restraint. They start committing crimes and so forth. he tells you, happy is the society that keeps God's law.
Mr. Soto, what do you say to people that would look at what happened in Connecticut this very morning in Newton at the school? And you say to me, Mr. Soto, there is a God that's in charge of all of this. I say to you, what happened in Newton, Connecticut? Give me some kind of an answer. What do you say to that kind of an outburst from someone who is not a believer?
Well, I mean, that's a very touchy subject right there. I mean, people, you know, have just lost lives, and I mean, the news is still coming out. I'm not sure exactly everything that happened there, but if people, you know, were murdered and so forth, it's very touchy. You need to be sensitive to what's going on there. But at the same time, you cannot compromise the truths that God has told us, that rejecting God, turning our back on His anointed Messiah, which He's placed on His throne, has consequences. God does punish those kinds of things, and this is one of the evidences of that punishment. But we're not dead yet. We're still alive. We can still repent. We can still turn to God, and we can put an end to this school shootings and post office shootings and so forth.
Right. The last chapter has not been written yet, has it, sir?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit, if you would, about your organization, Anno Domini.
It's newly started. It's going to be a Christian educational, try to educate Christians, and it's going to be an apologetics ministry telling Christians not just what they believe, but how to defend it.
And will you have a physical place where people could come for seminars or for teaching, or will you be putting out literature and online education? How will you be operating?
Yeah, I'll just be putting out literature for right now. I would like to do something like online, or if God blesses me with the building, I'd take that blessing as well.
I'm sure you would, and why not? I'm talking with Alex Soto. He is the founder of Anno Domini, a Christian educational apologetics ministry, and author of the book, The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on the Mosaic Law. And looking at Mosaic Law and looking at the founding of this nation, how did we're getting ready to go into a break right now, and I'm just getting the signal. Can you hang on with us for a couple of minutes afterward?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. We'll come back to that in a couple of moments. We'll talk about the new Enlightenment movement in Europe, how much influence that had on the founding of this nation, as opposed to the Mosaic Law and the guidance of Calvin's Commentaries. Back in a moment.
Stay right here. There's more news and views with Chuck Bates and you right here on the Information Radio Network.
Veterans are filing an unprecedented number of disability claims, up nearly 50% since 2008 levels. Although the Department of Veterans Affairs completed a record 1 million claims in each of the past 3 years, incoming claims have outpaced VA's ability to process them. A major hurdle is the nearly 5,000 tons of paper files VA receives that must be mailed, sorted, copied, printed, and stored each year. The good news, says VA, is that the paper-bound process is being overhauled over the next year to get ahead of the growing demand. VA is changing how its employees across the nation manage claims, including switching from paper files to digital processing, which VA's Undersecretary for Benefits, Allison Hickey, says represents a major undertaking.
This is an extreme makeover for VA. We'll be faster, more effective, and provide better quality. Our veterans, their family members, and survivors are counting on us to get this right.
VA anticipates having all of its 56 regional offices in its new organizational model by the end of 2013. I'm Steve Anort reporting.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you died tomorrow, would your family have enough to pay the bills, or could they lose their house, savings, and dreams of a good education? You don't have to put them through that. Getting term life insurance to provide for your family is fast, easy, and amazingly affordable. A 5-minute call to AIG Direct could save you up to 70%. Just listen to this. Less than $17 a month gets you $250,000 policy. Now is a great time to get term life, because some prices have dropped to their lowest rates ever, and AIG Direct has partnered with American General Life to bring you their lowest rates on term life insurance. Find out how incredibly affordable term life is through AIG Direct. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes just a few minutes, and through AIG Direct, you could save up to 70%. Call 1-800-530-4856. That's 1-800-530-4856. 1-800-530-4856.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you died tomorrow, would your family have enough to pay the bills? Or could they lose their house, savings, and dreams of a good education? You don't have to put them through that. Getting term life insurance to provide for your family is fast, easy, and amazingly affordable. A 5-minute call to AIG Direct could save you up to 70%. Just listen to this. Less than $17 a month gets you a $250,000 policy. Now is a great time to get term life because some prices have dropped to their lowest rates ever. And AIG Direct has partnered with American General Life to bring you their lowest rates on term life insurance. Find out how incredibly affordable term life is through AIG Direct. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes just a few minutes, and through AIG Direct, you could save up to 70%. Call 1-800-530-4856. That's 1-800-530-4856. 1-800-530-4856.
Have you ever thought about saying goodbye to your job? Just walking into your boss and saying, "I quit." And how would you like to commute to work without ever leaving your home? Well, not long ago, a 39-year-old entrepreneur from a billionaire family spent $20 million in 3 years to find the best home-based business in North America. He researched 70 different companies, and when he found the only one that had real long-term potential, he bought it. And right now, he's looking for people to help him turn this company into his next billion-dollar success story. So if you're serious about making money from home without having to leave your home, well, grab a pen. Because I'm about to give you the address of a website where you can learn all about this unique and rare opportunity. Write this down. www.gohernext.com. Now get on your computer and go to this site now. Part-time or full-time, your income is based totally on your performance. Interested? Gohernext.com and say goodbye to your boss tomorrow. Gohernext.com.
Your memory is one of your most important assets. And it would be terrifying to lose it, right? Cognitive falloff is a condition that affects millions and includes loss of memory and independence. It can begin with losing your keys or forgetting names, but it can get a lot worse. Now there's help.
Hello, I'm Dr. Larry McCleary. Operating on brains as a neurosurgeon for several decades, I saw firsthand how dramatically people's lives were affected when vital brain functions were lost. That's how I created Lucidol, a patented nutritional formula with 50 ingredients clinically shown to improve memory, concentration, focus, and mood.
Call now and receive Dr. McCleary's audio guide to brain health free. You'll learn secrets to better memory and much more. This is a $15 value, and it's yours free. But you must call now while supplies last. Call 800-736-0133. That's 800-736-0133. Call 800-736-0133.
If you'd like a CD copy of today's news and views, send a check or money order for $10 along with the date of today's program to the Information Radio Network, 2900 South College Avenue, Fort Collins, Colorado, 80525. That's 2900 South College Avenue, Fort Collins, Colorado, 80525. Or you can call in your order to 800-336-7000. That's 800-336-7000. Now, here are more news and views with Chuck Bates.
I'm Ron Allen, covering for Chuck today on a Friday afternoon on News and Views, and my guest is Alex Soto, founder of Anno Domini, a Christian educational and apologetics ministry. He is also the author of a book called The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on the Mosaic Law. Mr. Soto, I have one more question for you, then I'm going to let you go. I know you're busy today, and we have some follow-up to do on the Newton, Connecticut shooting. But the question I wanted to ask you, which do you think had more influence on the founding fathers of this nation, the new Enlightenment of Europe's Age of Reason, or the commentaries, the Calvin commentaries on Mosaic Law? Which would you say were most influential?
Well, I guess I'll put it this way, the teachings of Calvin were more influential on those guys, but the manner of deriving those teachings was there were more Enlightenment. That is, the Enlightenment liked to get things from nature, when our founders went to establish laws and constitutions and so forth, they went to nature. They like to get their political theology from nature and not the Bible. And I think the Bible, I think that's been harmful to America, and I think God requires that we check all of our readings of nature against his scriptures.
Well said, sir. Mr. Soto, I appreciate your being with us today. I'm sorry to cut you out of the last couple of minutes, but we do have a little business because of what's going on in the news. Alex Soto has been our guest. He has written a book called The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on the Mosaic Law. It'll be a wonderful stocking stuffer. And if you have a friend that has questions about where they're going in this world or what it's all about, this is the book, The Will of God by Alex Soto. Mr. Soto, thank you again, sir, for being with us.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.